We'll talk more about that today. But the other announcement, and this in the aged care space, is a decision from the federal government to cut the private health insurance rebate for older Australians 65 plus to fund changes to aged care reforms. Now, I know the National Seniors Australia weren't too happy about it. Its CEO is Chris Grice. Good evening, Chris.
G'day, Jamie. Good to be with you.
Good to have a chat. Did you have any warning that this was coming?
Well, we saw early this morning. I mean, this has been a battle right across the country, and it's been impacting individuals, but also even the impacting the state governments in terms of stranded patients in hospitals, because this is the flow-on effect from this co-contributions that the government were charging for showering and continence management and dressing and these sorts of things. Anyway, in preparation for the Minister's, Mark Butler's speech at the National Press Club, the Aged Care Minister, Sam Ray, did the rounds this morning of the media and basically said, oh, we've had a change of heart. We're basically common sense, compassion prevail, and we're going to deem showers as essential under supported home, and we're going to make that clinical care, which means that people won't have to contribute for it. So we thought, wow, that's a great outcome. Well done, Minister. Well done, government. But obviously, we thought, just in case, we won't send out a media release. There's always a sting in the tail with these things. And sure enough, come lunchtime, when Mark Butler made the speech, the sting in the tail was this piece around private health insurance and basically the changes that they're making there.
Okay, so talk me through the change and the impact as well, Chris.
Yeah, so what happens is that, and this has been in play for quite a number of years, but obviously we want as many people as possible for as long as possible contributing to private health insurance, because what it does, it means it takes more of that, I guess, financial burden and more money available for the younger cohort in particular to be able to use public hospitals. And so we don't want older Australians opting out of private health insurance. And so what they did is they had a modest incentive in place and to keep them in the system.
Sure.
And we know that from the 1st of April, there was an increase in private health insurance. The average of the pitch was 4.1%. We know that the actual policies increase anywhere between 10% and 25%. So there's about 2.5 million older Australians, and this isn't just self-funded retirees, this is pensioners as well, that are going to be impacted by this proposed adjustment in the private health insurance rebate. And depending on premium, it could be, it's not unusual for a couple to be paying for a high level of hospital cover to be paying $9,000 a year. And so that'll translate to about $800 a year. In addition to the increases that have already gone through, they're going to get whacked over the next while because of this decision today.
Okay, so with those two things combined, you could have to find another $1,500 a year.
Yeah, that's actually, yeah, you're right, Jamie. When you look at it from the point of view of pre-first of April, when the private health insurance rates went up, when you add the two together, that will not be unusual at all for that to be the increase. You're spot on.
Okay, so on one side, there's something being taken away. There's another side there that you feel is far more positive. Do you feel like things are just getting moved around here? Is there a bit of, I don't know how to put it, probably paid to pay Paul?
Yeah, I seem to be playing whack-a-mole all the time. You know, it's sort of like trying to stay on top of it. And in particular, this is where the challenge is for older Australians, is actually being able to navigate the systems. It is very challenging and problematic. And whether you're navigating Services Australia or My Age Care, it is difficult to stay on top of this. And quite often, you only find out about this stuff when it hits you in the back pocket. When these increases come through, so we'll be obviously there's going to be a lot of questions over the next few days, and many older Australians are going to sort of be thinking, well, how does this actually impact me? We are pleased, like I said, that from the point of view of the supported home system, that common sense has prevailed, and showering is now considered to be clinical care and no co-contributions. Jamie, no one's putting their hand up to be showered. This isn't something that, you know, people are trying to rot a system to get a shower at home. You know, there's privacy and dignity issues here at stake. So this is something that finally the government, after a significant amount of pressure, they have seen that this is more than appropriate to do. But on the other flip side, very much a watching brief and much more to be said, I think, going forward in terms of this impact. Because we don't want any more people opting out of the private health insurance system because our health system, in terms of the government and WA and sort of what they're able to run, are already under pressure as it is. And it seems that with the NDIS, they're going to be sort of under even potentially more pressure in how the systems sort of coexist.
Yeah, I mean, well, we know that the federal government is looking for savings, isn't it? This budget coming up is one of the most significant in recent memory, not just with what's been going on for the last few months, but with significant issues with the economy going on for a couple of years now and that beast that is inflation. Just want to get back to that point, though. Do you think that increase that we talked about off the top, do you think that will lead to some people in this group, some older Australians, to actually drop their private health insurance cover? Will it just get too expensive?
Well, what you may find, Jamie, is that what happens is that they prioritise private health insurance because that means that, you know, potentially they can stay out of the aged care system for as long as possible. They prioritise the health insurance, and what they do is they go without other things. They go without socialising, you know, going out with events with their friends. They put off, for example, they cut their home insurance down, where they basically say, well, I can't afford to have all of this, so what I'll do is I'll just have building insurance cover and I'll forget about the contents cover. So there's these sorts of things, these choices that older Australians have to make. And that, you know, there's sort of that narrative that the government's sort of touting at the moment in terms of intergenerational equality, and it's all on the back of, you know, I guess, real estate values. All of this stuff is unrealised. It's all on paper. And the sort of perception that older Australians, baby boomers, are sort of sitting on large sums of funds, that is not the case. And if you look at residential aged care, to fund a residential aged care room, you're looking at around the government numbers are about $750,000. This stuff is not cheap. So if you've got to set aside funds for aged care, which you're contributing to yourself, or your own healthcare, people are challenged by how much money they need to have and they need to save as much. So these sorts of things, like increases in private health, that will hit their pocket directly.
Chris, I know it's your job to advocate for people in this space, but do you feel that we're moving into a territory at the moment where there is a little bit of a generational war? Is there a little bit of kind of sniping between people just depending on kind of where they sit in those different generational brackets?
Exactly. And this is something in which that from our perspective, we very much believe that we need to do this together. And because an older person has been in a position to accumulate over years, that's the expectation. That's the whole point. These systems we created in terms of creating superannuation or whatever was to support yourself. And with that comes, if you're 70, you are going to accumulate a lot more wealth over a lifetime versus a 19-year-old. You cannot make direct comparisons, but we should at every opportunity, and many older Australians do that through that label of the Bank of Mum and Dad or gifting and all sorts of things, to childcare fees, help with grandkids with their first car, all that sort of stuff. This all goes on. But there is, unfortunately, from time to time in a media sense, but in particular, it looks like the government are picking up on this around creating this division, and it is no good for anybody. We need to be a country at the moment that is united, not divided, and we need to make sure that the policies that government put forward, the decisions they make, actually are representative of the entire country, not just in particular certain cohorts. We've got to look at it all together as a combined piece, and not create these divisions between the groups.
Hopefully we all get the opportunity to age and to get older. That's obvious, but is there a growing reality with the way that things are progressing that people are going to have to financially go it alone more? Do we rely too much on government support in our later years? And do you see something that might not be significantly changing today, but is going to change in decades to come?
Jamie, you're right. We need to seriously make decisions in particular about aged care. We are already struggling to be able to support as many people as we possibly can. And people's perception as to what care looks like, in particular government care looks like, people are going to like this. But the reality is, if we need to get as much care as possible into the hands of as many people as possible, we need to rethink things like, for example, the government contributing to the costs of mowing, or whether that's meal preparation, these sorts of things. I know that that's important for some, but in reality, we're going to have to maybe just have a look in the mirror and sort of go, hang on, there's only a finite amount of money. We've got more older Australians coming into the system. And if we want to provide that clinical care, like the showers, like the nursing, all that sort of stuff, and allow people to age in place, and especially, Jamie, when we've got a situation where we've got so many people that are suffering more in terms of dementia and mental health challenges, and how do we support them in terms of care, we've got to be smart about how we get that care to stretch as far as we possibly can and not break the budget for taxpayers and not put that burden on that younger generation in years to come.
Do you think we're seeing rorting in terms of service providers in aged care packages?
This is something that over the next little while, it's sort of mid-year, I think it is, where there's actually price caps to be brought in,
right,
in terms of care. Now, I know that there was, with the supported home program, there was an administration fee to manage your program, and that was around 29%. The government changed that and said, well, there will be a maximum of 10% on your administration costs, and then the costs were then transferred across into individual services. So if you use services, well, then you pay a little bit more for it, but you only pay the extra amount on the services you used as opposed to on your entire administration costs. So that was not a bad thing, but we are seeing payments that you know, in circumstances where they appear to be higher than they possibly should be. I was listening earlier and I reflected on that example that Kerry put forward around the NDIS, and earlier in my career I was in the insurance industry, and I always remember that whole getting my car repaired after an accident and then being asked the question, is this a private job or an insurance job?
Mm.
It was that all, you know, so this is not a new thing. This has gone back many years. And this whole bit about that, if someone else is sort of picking up the tab, this fat that appears to be sort of factored into the process. And that's the thing that we need to, you know, whether you call it fat, rorting, or whatever it is, we need to make sure that people are paid a fair amount in terms of fees, charges, or services, or wages, for service, and gouging should be completely removed from the systems, because when that occurs, that's when the government basically, they cut deep and they go, nah, it's over. That's it. It's all over. And we've got to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Hey, Chris, really good to have a chat to you today. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jamie. Take care now.
CEO of the National Seniors Australia. A few of your texts coming through. This one from Dan, who says cutting the private